Proverbs 14, verse 11. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even of his own neighbour, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbour sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. We'll end our reading at that verse. And our Father, we pray that thou wilt bless this public reading of thy holy word to us. For Christ's sake, amen. In the book of Proverbs, we have encountered several people. They're given an appellation or a description that is very readily understood. For instance, whenever we come across the wicked, we know what that means. Or the just, and we have seen the wicked and the just. We have learned something of the righteous. In these pages, we come across the glutton, and we come across the drunkard. And we don't have any real difficulty in understanding the type of character that marks them. We've learned of the sluggard, and we know that the sluggard is indolent, he's lazy, and we saw something about him in a time gone by. But there is one we have read of earlier in our service, and we're going to look at him now. And it's not just so readily understood what type of person this is. And we have him found for us in verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Now, the word backslider right away conjures up a picture to us, maybe in a humorous way. Take the two words that make up the word back and slider. Take a slide, for instance. I think that many of us here can remember younger days when the frost came. We used to make slides on the road or the footpath and wear out the soles of our shoes in doing it. And we knew what that meant. It meant you went on that slide and you made rapid progress forward without having to move your legs or feet about. You just got them into a rigid position and the momentum was there. But whenever you put the word back to it, the picture comes into your mind, there's somebody sliding back, which will be very, very difficult to do. Humorous though that is not the spiritual significance of backsliding. Certainly the word back comes into it, and the word backsliding means in the Bible to go back in an opposite direction in which we should be going. And it describes a condition of one who is going away from someone to whom he was very close. In the case of a Christian, it's going away from the Lord Jesus Christ by a person whenever we would have been in days gone by very close to him. We learn in the book of Hosea chapter 4, verse 16, where Israel is described as a backsliding heifer. Now, again, that picture of humor that I was speaking to you about, you can see it can't really mean that for a heifer. And anyhow, we don't know what a backsliding heifer is. But the meaning is to turn back. It's stubborn. It won't go under the yoke. It won't respond positively to all the proddings it's getting. It just won't work and do what its owner wants it to do. There's a stubbornness and a turning away. And this is how the person is described here. Backsliding is a process that indicates and exacerbates a terrible spiritual condition of a person who is a Christian. It's a movement away from God by a person who is not loving the Lord Jesus Christ as much as he or she did. And Solomon is speaking about this particular character now. And the only time that the word backslider is found in the Bible is here, although in other places the word backsliding is used several times. Now I want us to look together here and see what the Bible teaches us about this particular person. There are three things about the backslider, and we're looking at this verse, although we'll fill in. We will develop this by other references in the Scripture. First of all, the emergence of the backslider. How does a person arrive at that place where he's called a backslider? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, where this process commenced. Notice what we are told. The backslider in heart. The backslider in heart. That's where it starts. Now, I've told you before that the Word of God shows us that the heart holds a very central place in a person's living. If you're in love with someone, you say, I love you with all my heart. Or if you want to do something with keenness and enthusiasm, you are said to do it with all your heart. The Lord Jesus Christ said when he was asked what was the greatest commandment, this was his answer: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. We read that whenever Hezekiah was instrumental in the great work of reformation in Judah after his father died, that he did it with all his heart and prospered. The heart is so important in the things of God. We saw earlier in this series of studies that the heart must be guarded, because it's like a reservoir where the waters, from which the waters flow to different parts of the country. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If it's not guarded, it can be poisoned. And this is where backsliding starts. The heart has to be guarded, where the process commences. Notice how the process continues. This heart is the central part. And what do we learn? We learn that that's the seat of the affections. That's the mainspring of action. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ is loved and worshipped. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ is thought highly of in the heart of each one of his people. But this backsliding starts when the heart is not guarded, and then a rival comes on the scene. And the affections that we should be having solely for the Lord Jesus Christ are now shared with some rival, maybe another person, maybe a pleasure, maybe some pursuit, some goal that somebody has. And while it's not true to say that that rival has taken over, yet it's getting into the place where the Lord Jesus Christ had to have exclusively on the throne of our heart. And then by and by, we find that that rival has more of a position until it reaches the place where it shares the very same affection as the Lord Jesus Christ shares. And the Bible says in Hosea 10 about the dangers of a divided heart. And so what is happening now is the person will still go through the motions of Christianity. They'll still do the same things that Christians are supposed to do. But there'll be a whole lot of other things coming in that will weaken the enthusiasm for the things of the Lord that once there was. How this process commences, how it continues, and how it culminates. This is how the backslider comes on the scene. This rivalry takes place in the heart between the Lord Jesus Christ and something else that we have set up there. And it culminates in this, that the Christian will no longer read his Bible at home or pray. Oh yes, come to church perhaps on Sunday, and maybe bring the Bible with him. But there's not an interest. There's something else will happen. There'll be a dropping off of the church services. It may start with a Sunday night. It may start with a Wednesday night. But before very long, there's a very serious lapse in church attendance. Now, we are not talking about people who are ill or people who have duties that they can't get out. We're talking about the free and easy person who can be out. And then we learn something else. The person cuts back on their tithe to God's work each week or month or whenever. All of these things are indications that this process has culminated. There has been a weakening of the vitals, maybe over a period of months or years. And then it comes right out in the open. The person is a backslider. They have lost out in interest and keenness and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. There were two men walking out in the fields one day, and they came near a river, and they knew that storms had been there the previous two or three days, and they saw this huge tree cut down lying by the bank of the river, and they both went over to examine it, and they noticed that it had come down just above the roots, near the ground. And they looked at it and said, this is interesting. And they discovered that while the tree had been beautifully girthed on the outside, inside there was rottenness. It was nearly hollow. There was rottenness inside it. And one of them said to another, you know, there's a great lesson here for us, isn't there? He said, I can readily see it. And the lesson was that Christians can be like that. They may look strong as trees on the outside, but inside, in the heart, because the process of backsliding has been taking place, and something happens, they're cut down, and all along with an examination had taken place, you could see that something was eating away at the vitals of their Christian life and love for the Lord. Backsliding does not happen all at once. That's why I've used the word here, the emergence of the backslider. Let me ask you a question, friend, and you can best answer it, and you can answer it. Do you sense there's backsliding going on in your life? Is there a losing out of love for the Lord Jesus and the Bible and the means of grace? Is there a withdrawing of yourself from the fellowship of God's people? You best can answer that, and you'll be able to answer it without any difficulty. Is the process of backsliding going on within? But notice in the second place, not only the emergence of the backslider, but the egoism of the backslider. Notice the wording here. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. The man's looking after his ego now. The backslider is basically a man of self. Now, what are these ways? Well, let me say, first of all, the ways of selfishness. We learn in Isaiah chapter 53 about the unconverted that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that is a selfishness that marks the backslider. Now, there's no regard for the Lord. It used to be that whatever the Lord wants comes first in my life, but not now. If it's handy, if it's convenient, we may consider it. Why? Because self has taken over. There's no concern now for the needs of God's work. There is no regard for commitment to the cause of the Lord. Why? Because it cuts across our own interests. Our interests come first. You remember in the days of Haggai, whenever they stopped building the house of God for so many years after they started. You see, they come back to build the house of God. They did well for a while, but there was problem, big problems that developed. And whenever the problems were over, whenever the danger was past, they never got back to their building of the house of God. And God raised up two men, Haggai and Zechariah. And in the prophecy of Haggai, this is what he says to Haggai to tell them, why do you run to your own houses and my house lie waste? What the children of Israel had done then is what people do all the time. Whenever they lose out with God, they look after their own interests first. And then if it's convenient, they'll fit God in somewhere down the line. Remember what the Lord Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, put me first, the things that you worry about. And there were legitimate concerns in that part in Matthew 6. But the Lord says, if you put me first, I'll take care of all of these things. So the backslider is selfish. But not only are there the ways of selfishness with regard to the egoism of the backslider, there are ways of unfaithfulness. Would you turn back with me, or turn over with me, to Jeremiah chapter 2. We find in these two chapters, chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Jeremiah, the word backsliding and the condition that it represents occurring often. Notice chapter 2 of Jeremiah. Verse 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. But notice verse 5, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain. What a change had come over them. And I want to say to you, my dear friend, that that can happen to any one of us. Let's never, whenever people have an awful fall, say, oh, it serves them right. If they hadn't been involved in those things, it never would have happened. It can happen to any one of us. The Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Any one of us, and every one of us, is a vulnerable person. Turn over the page to chapter 3 of Jeremiah, verse 6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Verse 8, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel hath committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. What's he saying? He says, this backsliding is to me like an unfaithful partner in a marriage, an immoral partner in the marriage. That's what God is saying. He's calling these people backsliding Israel who are committing spiritual adultery. What is happening? These are ways of unfaithfulness. And it grieved the Lord and vexed him and it insulted him. You might think that, well, I still go through the motions of living the Christian life. I still come to church Sunday by Sunday. But I'm sure that you've come across this phrase in the Bible, or I've heard it mentioned. These people worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What has happened? Backsliding. There is a way of selfishness, and a way of unfaithfulness. And then there's a way of unhealthiness. We'll not turn to this, but in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 4, the Lord says, I will heal their backsliding. If something needs healed, it must be sick, it must be ill, it must be diseased. And that's what backsliding is. It's something for which a panacea is needed. It's something for which a remedy is needed. It's something for which healing needs to take place. And the Lord is the great physician, and he says, I will heal that backsliding. But my dear friend, it's an illness, it's a disease nonetheless. And these are all entailed in the egoism of the backslider. Let me ask the question before we come to our last point. Is self central in your life, or is the Lord Jesus central? Then all my heart and will, Lord Jesus, be altogether King. Let me be a loyal subject to Thee, Lord Jesus, to Thee in everything. Let me notice with you lastly, not only the emergence of the backslider and the egoism of the backslider, but the experience of the backslider. Verse 14 again, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The thought that comes across here to me is that somebody's had a tremendous meal of something that they have yearned after and have eaten far, far too much and are practically choking. They're so sick with it. Isn't it true that we've all been guilty of that at one time or another when we've been eating? Only now to transfer it into the spiritual. This backslider has thrown off the yoke. He has gloried in his imagined freedom. He has said, I'm a free person now. No more disciplining myself to have to read the Bible and pray every day or to be at church every time the church doors open. I don't have to go in for that now. But he finds out that what he thought was freedom is really slavery. The Bible says he's filled with his own ways. First of all, there's the experience of emptiness. I want you to turn back or turn over again to Jeremiah chapter 2. And we're still in that passage dealing with the backsliding. Notice what God says about the folly of these particular people that turn away from him. He says in chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, my people have committed two evils. He says they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. He said they thought they were having freedom. He thought he was going to have tremendous pleasure that he could never have serving me. But he has found out that I'm the fountain of living waters. I'm the source of satisfaction. And he's also found out that what he thought was pleasure are just cisterns that are broken and they can't hold any water at all. A life of emptiness is what it means to be filled with his own ways. Do you remember the woman of Samaria? The Lord Jesus said, thou hast had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. And then he said to her, he said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst again, but shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, my dear friend, the hymn writer found it to be so when the words were written, none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. The backslider will learn that truth sooner or later. There's the experience of emptiness. And then there's the experience of bitterness. Look at verse 19 of chapter 2 of Jeremiah. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. The Lord says, you're going to learn. Sooner or later, you will learn that it's an evil thing, it's bitter. Your own backsliding will reprove you. You'll know by experience that what you've done is wrong in taking me of the throne of your life and putting something else there, putting self there. You'll find out, and oh, the cost will be high. Let me give you two or three illustrations of that. His name was Elimelech. He lived in Bethlehem Ephratah, the house of bread, which meant that there would always be an abundance. But they ran into feminist times. And he did a very wrong thing. He took his wife Naomi, his two boys Mahlon and Chilion, and he said, times are hard, you know. The job prospects in Moab are far better. He says, we'll only stay there for a little while. But he found out he stayed for longer than a little while. His sons married two girls who were heathens. The two boys took ill and died. Elimelech himself died. His wife was left without anybody to care for except these two heathen daughters-in-law who were very affectionate girls, and one of them became a great servant of the Lord. But that man found out that his own backsliding had reproved him, and it was bitter. We don't have his name, but he was a young man who had an older brother. He's called the prodigal son. He looked at the far country. He was fed up with all the rigors, as he thought they were rigorous, of home life. He felt he was missing something. He went to the far country. He wasted his substance with riotous living. And then he found the truth of Jeremiah 2 and 19 and verse 13 as well. That the cisterns he had hewn out were broken cisterns, could hold no water. And now he found that his backsliding was reproving him. And as he sat among the pigs eating their food, it was a bitter and evil thing that he had done. It's interesting that Solomon is the writer of the Proverbs and uses the word backslider. He was to know by bitter experience the truth of what he was writing. As we come to a close, would you turn back to 1 Kings chapter 11 to see how this great man of God became a backslider himself. And with this we'll finish. 1 Kings chapter 11. Notice verses 1 and 2. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Verse 2, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Verse 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned aside his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. You can read the rest of chapter 11 and see the disastrous situation that came into the life of Solomon and the awful condition into which this man went. And let me sum it up for you in Ecclesiastes 2 verse 11. When Solomon was an old man, it was reckoned, he wrote this book of Ecclesiastes. This is what he writes. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. The awful experience of the backslider. There's a warning here in this verse. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Such a thing is a reality. It's possible it can happen to any one of us. And there's a challenge here. Is it happening to us? Has it happened? Let me give you a word of exhortation from Jeremiah 3. Return thou backsliding people, and I will receive thee. You come to the Lord Jesus, ask him to take it all away, this backsliding. Ask him to forgive us our sins, to wash us again in his precious blood. John wrote to Christians, this is what he says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. Will you put away your backsliding if such is the case? Come back to the Lord now. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we thank thee for the warning. We pray that we'll take it to heart. And if this process of backsliding is going on in our lives, and we're aware of it, we pray, Lord, that before it's too late, we'll seek the grace and the healing of thyself to reverse the awful process. Bring us back to our first love. Oh, we pray that thou wilt have mercy upon us. It's so easy to backslide. We have known at times in our hearts that we have been backsliding. Oh God, we pray that thou wilt deal with us tenderly and mercifully and graciously. And help us now. In Jesus' name. Amen.